focus on quantity. So I have three different plans out there that you can choose, and if you do any of those three, that would be wonderful. One is to read through a proverb a day, which would get you through the book of Proverbs in a month. The other is to read the Psalms, one psalm a day, which would get you through the Psalms twice in the year. And the other is a one where it looks at 30 different Bible doctrines that you would do one every 2 weeks. Also, I gave at Christmas, but some of you have been traveling and other things, and I have a lot left over. These little leatherette Bibles that have the life of Christ, I have plenty of them. And if you know of friends or neighbors or coworkers or anyone, please, there's a bunch on the table, and I've even got more in a box back here. And then one final announcement is we will be hanging clothes at the Clothing Connection this Tuesday at 10:30. So 10:30 this Tuesday, we'll be hanging clothes. It's at the backside of the Pittman Plaza. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. The prayer requests that we've heard. Andy, give us an update on your dad.
Oh, thank you. You don't remember, my father was admitted to the hospital Christmas Day with a heart condition, and they found he had cancer. So he had surgery for the cancer, and his heart condition is stable, so he's seeing God's goodness every day. He's still in the hospital, but he's planning to go to a rehab stay before he goes back home. So thank you so much for your prayers and his support. It's great to have an extra family to support me in this whole thing.
He's 94?
94.
So let's continue to keep him in our prayers, and your mother, and all the family.
Thank you.
Any other items of prayer? Carrie.
Tiffany texted me yesterday. She is still having reactions to the treatment she's taken, but she does go for blood work this week. Please pray for her. Also, two Brookville classmates passed away this week. Actually, one passed away 3 weeks ago. Tracy Watts, who has been Watts' wife. And also, one of my friends from Brookville, Wendy Childress. So we can just keep those family in prayer, especially during the holidays.
What's Wendy's sister's name?
I don't know. I just know Wendy.
Let's keep Tiffany in prayers. She's going back for blood work as we've been praying for her walk with cancer. And then two friends and folks from Brookville that passed away, their families, Tracy Watts and Wendy Childress. Let's keep them all in our prayers. Sue.
Niece and Dick's going in for a
gallbladder
surgery today.
Oh, today?
Yeah, and he had a mini stroke this week too.
And his last visit.
I think they're getting that, you know, control.
Is it Kinley?
Kinley.
Let's keep Dick in prayers. He's having gallbladder surgery today. Please keep us posted.
Okay.
And I saw. Yes, Dee.
Gail is. Traveling mercies for Gail and Algene as they return from Northern Virginia today.
Amen. Anyone else? Yes. Where?
My best friend Steve and Buffett, one of my best friends, his dad Chuck, is on his left.
Let's keep Stephen and let's keep Chuck and the entire family. Amen. Thank you. Yes.
Finally, Carol and Greg.
Mom is still there. I'll pick her up next Monday or Tuesday. He sleeps most of the time or in bed. But Mom says she's had some meaningful conversations with Joan about the future and life after the fact. So let's keep all in prayer. Any others? Let's go to the Lord. Our gracious Lord, we sing, but we also know just in the depths of our being that whether it's 1 minute or a activity in prayer is truly a sweet hour. It's sweet time when we can come apart from the difficulties and chaos, the activities, the frustrations, the celebrations, the busyness, and we can center our faith and our hope and our reliance upon you. We know it's more than mere words that when we cast our cares off of us, we are casting them upon one who eternally cares for us. It's nice. It's eternally kind of you to have compassion, not only for the saving of our eternal souls and our location and placement in the afterlife, but you show your great mercy and kindness and caring for all of those aspects of our lives. So we bring these concerns to you, we cast them onto you. We pray that you would be with those that are walking paths that seem terminal, and unless there's divine intervention, will be. We pray that you would be with Chuck and his family. May that this just be a sweet time, a meaningful time. And when we define and say family, we know it includes friends. So we lift up all those, and we lift up Will as he's watching a good friend and a good friend's dad walk this path. We pray that you'd be with Greg and Carol, be with Tiffany with the upcoming tests and her continued walk. We pray that you'd be with the Watts and the Childress family. Comfort them and give strength. We thank you for the way that it has gone well for Fred, and we'll pray that you'll continue to heal and strengthen him. We know your presence is our healing, and draw close and be their strength. We pray that you would be with Dick as he even today will be having gallbladder surgery. Prepare his body for that procedure. May it go well in his recovery. Move along with good progress and a pain held up to a minimum. We pray that you'd be with Gail as she's traveling with Elgin, with others that are traveling, and those that serve us and others by working in the elements. We pray that you would be with those throughout the major part of our country that will be receiving harmful and dangerous weather. Give safety. May we be careful, and may we trust you, for you care for us. We ask all these prayers in your most holy name. Amen. As always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you look with me, we'll use a portion of Psalm 119, calling each to worship. And then, because they came about 2 years later to the party at the birth of Christ, we will finish out this Christmas season singing We Three Kings, hymn 215, after we call each to worship. Oh, how I love your law. All the day long it is in my mind.
Your commandment has made me wise with my enemies, and it is always good with me.
I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my study.
I am wiser than the elders, because I observe your commands.
I restrain my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word.
I do not shrink from your judgments, because you yourself are my talk.
How sweet are your words to my taste. They are sweeter than honey to my mouth.
For your commands I gain understanding, therefore I hate every lying heart.
Thank you. first reading is from the Old Testament, 1 Kings, chapter 3, verses 4 to 15. The king, Solomon, went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to come out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this your great people?" And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life, or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandment, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem, and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now let us sing hymn 193. Son, we might be made to abound in good works, Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And as children of light, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second lesson is from the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself, as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. given above all names, wherein we must be saved. We give you praise for your eternal salvation, your constant presence, and the glorious future we have in Him alone. Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 52. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Sometimes, as we gather, the sweetest things to hear are those things we hear all the time. May they never be mundane in my speaking or in your hearing when we begin before the sermon by saying that grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ be unto you. Amen. Sometimes good news doesn't come alone. We know it's just sort of part of life, that way of saying, I've got good news, I've got bad news. Which one do you want to hear first? And our story that we sort of culminate with today, I want to reach back to to last week, and pick up the story of last week. If your memory serves you, there were two individuals, one of which I want to look at, and if your memory doesn't serve you, just look back in Luke 2 because it's there. But there were two individuals when Mary and Joseph went to follow the law and do the ceremonial cleansing of Jesus, this newborn. There were two individuals that they ran into, Anna, that we won't deal with, a quite old lady, probably around 107, who had looked for the Christ to come. And the one I do want to deal with, the one who gave good news and bad news, was Simeon. Simeon was an older man, a devout man. We don't know anything about him other than the fact that he had been waiting all his life to see the Messiah. And when he takes, as an old man can do, he reaches out and he takes this young child into his arms. He gives a very interesting message to all the people. And if you'll look with me to that, I would like to begin in verse 28 of Luke 2. And he took him up in his arms, i.e. Jesus, and he blessed God and said, "Lord, Now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my salvation has seen, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. That's good news. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary. So you get this picture, this Simeon makes this blanket pronouncement of good news, that this, that now I can rest in peace. We get a prayer that Thomas Cranmer put in the Book of Common Prayer that you may remember. It's called the Nunc Dimittis. It means now we can depart. Now we're done. Now I can go in peace because the Savior has come. And then he says that he will be a blessing. But he says in verse 34 that he moves from giving this blessing to all and he narrows it down to Mary. And he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Not so good news. There's a saying, you've probably seen it on placards, that God couldn't be everywhere, so he made mothers. And I don't know if that's true. I mean, moms do tend to feel like they're omnipresent. They just always seem to be around. And some are that way. But let me tell you what I think I have seen in my pastoral ministry. That no one, and I don't mean to shortchange the men in the congregation today, but my experience has been, including me, that there is no heart that mirrors the heart that God has for his children and the pain and sorrow they go through than the heart that a mother has for her children. We read of Rachel, and now we hear of Mary, and what in the middle of this good news, Simeon says, he is going to be the Savior of the world, but a sword is going to pierce your soul. Mary, you were found to be the faithful one, that faithful virgin that we have been waiting for centuries, and you're going to show you were not only faithful in being able to deliver the Savior, you are going to be the faithful one who's going to have to lose the Savior. You're going to have to see the pain of loss. Here's what Mary hears. Mary hears from Simeon, your son will cause the rise and falling of many of God's people. There'll be those that are uplifted by him. There'll be those that are offended and will be, he'll be a stumbling block. And like a cornerstone, you can either build on it for your salvation or you can stumble over it for your damnation. Your son will cause the fall and rising of many of God's people. Your son will be controversial. Your son will be opposed. And you will experience grief, sorrow of loss. And I'm going to say that Mary understood this loss. Mary can relate to all those that have lost children. For she lost her son in three ways. Two of which we see in this passage in Luke 2. The first time she lost them, and I guess all parents do this when we bring our children from dedication and we give them back unto the Lord. We are committing them back to the Lord. Now, unfortunately, we still have to raise them. And, you know, that can sometimes not be as easy as we'd like. But we are losing them back to the Lord. We are consecrating them back. And we read last week where Mary and Joseph did that. But then we see in a very prophetic way this little trip that is more than just a comical Home Alone trip that Jen read for us today. And that is a caravan. And like Kevin on that movie Home Alone, after a while they look and it's like, where's Jesus? Now, I don't know if I ever saw Home Alone. I don't know how he got left behind, but it's sort of inconceivable to think somebody would forget their children. Here recently, when we went to Pennsylvania for the Sight and Sound, I rented for us a van, and we all sort of chuckled because when you would turn the key off on the van, the last little message you got on the monitor was, make sure you don't leave any unattended children in the van when you leave, which sort of speaks to the quality of the world we live in, that parents have to be reminded not to leave their youngsters strapped in the van, at least not unintentionally so. But I don't know how Kevin got lost, but in this caravan, let's not be too hard on the Holy Family. It's not like they were in the same little chariot. There were probably multitudes of family and extended family walking together. It would be nothing, as most of us growing up, we would run off and play with cousins, or we wouldn't be right by mom and dad's side. And so Jesus gets lost. But what is telling is what we read when he gets found. And it's interesting that he gets found very prophetically on the what day? The third day. The day of our salvation. The day, only sign that Jesus said, I'll give you, is the sign of Jonah, who was in the belly of the whale for how many days? 3 days. So 3 days is the day of salvation. So when they find Jesus, it's very interesting. Look at verse 48. He's already been amazing, the priest and scribe there, at his skill in Scripture and his wisdom. But I want us to focus more on the relationship with his parents. Verse 48. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother, and I add, but it fits the text, being a typical Jewish mother, or a typical any mother, upon finding their child who was, you know that phenomenon where you don't know whether or not you want to hug them or kill them. Because it's that relief that, why would you do this? And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress, overwhelming anxiety. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? One of the gentlemen, and I'm not going to preach on this, but I wish I could, and I pondered a lot. There's a lot of adoptions that go on in the Scripture. We are adopted, but there's a lot of reflections of that. And we'll see the third time where Mary has to have her heart pierced and her son taken away is at the cross. But do you remember what the last domestic act Christ did before his death? He paired together. He said, Mary, adopt my beloved disciple. And John, this is your mother. Let me ask you, where did Mary, she had to learn how to be a virgin mother, but from whom did Mary learn what it was and how you went about being the adoptive parent? I'm going to suggest to you the one who gets very little credit in Scripture, and he was a very wonderful, wonderful role model for us, was from Joseph. See, Joseph, if you think about it, had to adopt Jesus, didn't he? Jesus of Nazareth wasn't Joseph's natural son. Joseph took one who was fathered by another, and with compassion and care, raised this young boy. But Jesus, not to be disrespectful, but to make a point, he's very clear here when he points out, did you not know? He doesn't say that I had to be in the temple. He's reminding them that I didn't come here just for earthly experience. I came here to do divine work. I had, as we sing, you know, frankincense and myrrh and gold. He came not just to live and be a good teacher, to live and be a good role model for us. He came to be in his Father's house. And that's the final time that Mary must let Jesus go. Not only in the dedication we read in Luke 2, and when he returns to his Father's house in Luke 2, but at his crucifixion, when her soul was pierced, and she had to see the one she had given birth to violently taken away from her. And Mary, as it says in the end of this passage in the gospel, pondered all these things in her heart. Mary modeled for us what Jesus modeled for us perfectly in the garden, that releasing our grip on life as we perceive it goes hand in hand with trusting God as our Savior. They're two sides of the same coin. We can't continue to grip onto this life while also releasing and trusting God completely. Let me draw some lessons as I close quickly. The first thing I'd like to say is that not only this bad news came to Mary that your heart will be pierced. Suffering is our lot. This is a sin-torn world. And we have to say with Job that life is short and full of trouble. We mentioned a lot of things where we say praise be unto the Lord. We mentioned a lot of things, and we even did today, that's just, if we're blunt, just not fair. It just pierces our soul. And that's life. It's not our lot. So how do we deal with it? Well, I think Mary, and more perfectly Jesus, told us to. When Mary was told by Simeon that your heart would be pierced, let's take note from it for our own discipleship that she didn't worry, she pondered. When we hear bad news, we tend to worry. But Mary didn't worry, she pondered. And I would suggest to you there's a big difference between worrying, which is just overthinking, and pondering, which is just in amazement trying to see what God is doing. Well, you say it's a fine line between worry and pondering. Well, it may be a fine line, but let me tell you what the warning light is. Let me tell you how, at least for me, I think you can distinguish when you're worrying and when you are pondering. And I take this from Paul, where he says, let the peace of God guard your heart. If it's not increasing my peace, if it's not working the peace of God in me, it's worry. If it's producing the peace in me, it's pondering, knowing that his eye is on the sparrow. And I can sing even though I want to cry. I can sing while I'm crying. Second thing is we have no idea what form this life will take. You don't know what 2025 is going to look like. And neither do I. Oswald Chambers, that great individual who wrote many books, or his wife wrote many books, he made a quote one time. He said, "We understand that just like the chalice, we understand like a bottle of good wine, we understand enough to know that in order for the sweetness of the grape to come out, it has to be crushed." And he said, "We're okay with that. Our problem is we want to tell the Almighty whose fingers to use to do the crushing. We want to be able to instruct what the form of the suffering will take." Mary didn't have that opportunity. Jesus didn't have that opportunity, nor do we. Another lesson I see from this, we not only have no idea what the form of the suffering will be, we have no idea what the timing of the suffering will be. Simeon didn't give a timeline of when her heart would be pierced. No prophet did, except for Daniel, and we're still arguing about what he meant. But the prophecies didn't come with timelines. See, we're not given, what we're given is a promise. If I'm honest, what I want is an itinerary. But we don't get an itinerary, we get a promise. I'm probably the most impatient person you know. I'm taking a class next week. It's not for credit, I'm just taking it for my own edification. And I almost backed out of it till yesterday because I've gotten so mad that the professor is about a month behind posting the syllabus and itinerary on the website. And it's like, I don't want to go if I don't know what I'm going to be studying. My new hobby, and I wish they would take away the ability, because it's become an obsession for me, because I order a lot of books and other things online. My new hobby, and I spend way too much time doing it, is that little button that sometimes comes on an email, track your package. You ever done that? I'll track my package the same time, up two or three times an hour sometimes. And I've learned no matter how hard I hit it, I don't get any better results. You know, if we had an itinerary to life, faith would be unnecessary, wouldn't it? Faith would be unnecessary. So we have no control. But the only thing we can do, finally, our only salvation is in release, is in letting go. And this is what Simeon says. He says, "Now I can be dismissed. I don't know what the suffering will look like. I don't know what the timetable will be. I don't know what form it'll take. But I can be done. I can be dismissed. Because I've seen the Savior. Because the Savior is here and I don't need to know anything else." And Elizabeth Elliot, who lost her husband tragically, her first husband to missionaries, she said, "Our only power in life is surrender." And because we have a God who is our Savior, and we've seen our Savior, we can now be dismissed and trust. And we can surrender knowing it's good. Let me close by telling you, in the Book of Common Prayer, this Simeon song, or the Nunc Dimittis, it was placed in the Book of Common Prayer, and if any of you grew up following that, and a lot of us grew up being taught this even though we didn't follow the Book of Common Prayer, it became the basis of an evening, nighttime prayer that's basically exactly what Simeon is saying and what we should be saying if we understand the gospel. And you may know that nighttime prayer. It goes like this: "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Then I can sleep well." And like Simeon said, "Now I can go in peace because I've seen the Savior."
and my soul is kept. Amen? Let us stand and confess our faith together, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Revealing God, you send the light of a star, and in that light we see the truth of who you are and the truth of who we are. Like the Magi, you call us to worship you. But like the Magi, we mistake where you truly belong and where we truly belong. Yet in Revelation, you direct us to yourself, and in Incarnation, you meet us in yourself. You become what we are that we might become what you are. And so you draw us to the company where your angels gather around your eternal throne, singing their hymn of unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of wonder, as the Magi brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so we bring these gifts of bread and wine. In those gifts, we see your grief at the way we crucified your Son, the Holy One, among us, but also the wonder of how you raised him to be our King in glory forever. Send down your Holy Spirit that we may discover what it means to be of you and in you, that this bread of honest toil and this holy wine of joyous celebration may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took a cup, and again he gave you thanks, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
God of wisdom, as the Magi brought gold, bring your whole church, living and departed, to the vision of your glory. As the Magi brought frankincense, infuse all who seek you with the beauty of your holiness. As the Magi brought myrrh, embrace all who suffer until the time comes when you flood the whole creation with justice and mercy. In this banquet, restore us in your image, surround us with your company, and prepare us for your freedom, that we may come to resemble your Son, through whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me return briefly to this statement of Simeon. You've held babies. You've probably held a lot of babies. Some of you even like to hold babies. I have to do it at baptisms, but I don't like holding babies. I'm fearful I'm going to drop them. But some of you like holding babies. And you probably say something when you hold a baby. You say how cute they are, how little their fingers are, how they look like granddaddy or something, how beautiful they may be. But to look at a little 8-9 pound mass of flesh and say, I can die now. All is going to be okay now. Because I've seen the salvation of the Lord. That doesn't make sense. It has to be taken by faith. It has to be given by a gift of the Holy Spirit to, along with Tertullian, we say we believe what is absurd. A God would become a baby so us sinners could receive the nature of God. We relish in the fact that that which we believe is too good not to be true. And we come and we receive bread, we receive wine, and we say the body and blood of Christ. We don't worry about how. We don't try to overthink it. But with Mary, may we ponder and keep these beautiful promises in our heart, that we receive our salvation. And therefore, all is well. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive this precious gift that was given to us, our Passover lamb. Thank you.
gift. The inexpressible, undescribable, eternal gift of absolute love. Thank you for your Son, for truly His presence is our gift. We thank you for upholding us through Him. We thank you that we have a Savior. So may we ponder these things in our heart, trusting that our Savior fully and completely redeems. And because of that, we can live in boldness, and we can live in joy, and we can live knowing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are in Him, the hope of our glory. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us close our worship, stand and sing our hymn that will not only close our worship, but begin our year. May this be the spirit that we walk in 2025 with. It's hymn 115. Upon you and give you peace both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Amen.